Good to see you. And to any guests today, I think there was a couple few, thank you for being with us today. We're really blessed to have you here. As you may have seen in your bulletin, title of my message today, 2025, A Jesus Jubilee. A Jesus Jubilee. Okay, so church, as we begin, I wonder, how do you, as an American, prepare for the new year? Well, we probably each have our own way, but here are some interesting New Year's traditions from other cultures around the globe. Over in Siberia, how many of you have ever been to Siberia? How many of you ever want to go? Over in Siberia, it is tradition to dive into a frozen lake while holding a tree trunk, which is placed underneath the ice. Isn't that amazing? That's the way you bring in the new year. In a traditional festival from Burma, people splash water on one another to start the new year with a purified soul. Armenian mothers bake special bread, which they knead with good luck and good wishes. In the Philippines, homeowners open all their doors and windows on New Year's Eve in order to allow negative energy to leave and good energy to enter. This was real interesting. Spanish tradition holds that eating 12 grapes just before the clock chimes midnight, or 12 a.m., will bring good fortune for all 12 months of the upcoming year. One New Year's custom in Russia is to write a wish for the upcoming year on a piece of paper, then to burn the paper and place the ashes in a glass of champagne, which needs to be consumed right before the new year is rung in for the wish to come true. This was fascinating. Residents in Johannesburg, South Africa, throw old appliances and furniture out the window, representing the old adage, out with the old and in with the new. Yeah. Down in Brazil, Brazilians wear white clothing, a custom meant to bring good luck for the upcoming year. And this is often accompanied by a trip to the beach to throw flowers in the sea while making a wish. Wow. And the list just literally goes on. But I thought that was so interesting how they prepare for the new year around the world. Do you think so?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, right here, neighbors in the vicinity of my house ushered in the new year by the lighting of firecrackers, cherry bombs, and M80s. For over a full hour from midnight to well past 1 a.m. I really just wished that they would have eaten 12 grapes. I got to be honest with you. Because I was sitting there, every time I just thought I was gone, boom, I was up again. That's the way I bring in the new year. But I try to be gracious because, hey, how many of you would agree that a new year often feels like a fresh start for a lot of people? And they want to bring it in with a bang. So, have you seen that? For anyone here who was lighting off fireworks in M80s, God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. Well, the reason we get all excited about New Year's, I propose, is because it's time that we think about making changes. It's time about which we set resolutions and we lay out some goals. Now, of course, you and I can do all that anytime, really. But the beginning of a new year that's fresh gives us a natural strategic pause that can motivate us to kick off things in a new direction. And that can apply to each of us individually and also spiritually, collectively as a church family. And that's what I feel is what the Lord wants us to do today. But, you know, where to begin as we start this year? Well, thankfully, in the Old Testament, there were guidelines for a special time to hit the reset button. One of the best known to our spiritual forefathers being what was called the Year of Jubilee. Someone say with me, the Year of Jubilee. Jubilee. Which happened every 50 years in Israel, in old ancient Israel. And we read about this event in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8 to 12. where it says, the Lord said to his people, once every 49 years on the 10th day of the seventh month, which is also the great day of forgiveness, trumpets are to be blown everywhere in the land. You will announce freedom for everyone living in your country. This time will be called a time of jubilee. It is a time of freedom and celebration when everyone will receive back their original property and slaves will return home to their families. This is a year of complete celebration. So don't plant any seed or harvest what your fields or vineyards produce. In this time of jubilee, you may eat only what grows on its own. Interesting. Church, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right. So then, everyone, as we step into a new year, drawing from the insights of others as well as my own, I want to share with you some important, what I believe are transferable prophetic lessons that you and I can take from the concept of Jubilee as we enter 2025 here at the River Church. All right? Now, as we begin, just for clarification, the Hebrew word for Jubilee means the sound of a trumpet. Very interesting. Or a more modern type translation would be a happy cheer. A happy cheer. And listen, for good reason, right? As we just read, Jubilee was a special time when land went back to the people who originally owned it. Also, those Israelites who had been trapped in slavery were set free, and all the farmland got a nice restful break. Very interesting. And dear ones, this was all God's idea. That's right. God made this year of Jubilee to help everyone get back what belonged to them. Now, that's a very interesting concept. Yeah, he did it so that each tribe and family could keep their special inheritance from him. In other words, no matter what problems or mistakes they faced or how much they owed, no matter what unfair things happened to them or their families, no matter what made them lose their homes or sell themselves or their kids into slavery, God, who's always ready to help, made a way for his people to be rescued and restored. In other words, recovered and redeemed. In fact, let's declare that together. Rescued and restored, recovered and redeemed. Wasn't that amazing that our spiritual forefathers, God built that into the system? But now, yeah, that's Old Testament, that's Old Covenant. How then does the Jubilee apply to you and me as New Testament believers? And how can we apply its powerful ideas to our present personal and church situation right now in the year of our Lord 2025? Well, I want to propose to you the good news answer is that you and I can apply it right now because in actuality, the year of Jubilee has come to life in our Savior, Christ Jesus. Yes, saints, I'm saying that the year of Jubilee was a symbol of what Jesus Christ would do during his earthly ministry. You've all read the Gospels, haven't you? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the stories of Jesus' earthly ministry. And also, being fulfilled in Jesus, you see, it was the recovery and restoration of all of us back to God. Because we just said redeemed and recovered, we'd all fallen away from God, become slaves to our own sin under the domination of a horrible taskmaster, the evil one. And Christ brought us all back to God by sacrificing himself on the cross and rising again for us. The gospel story that he took care of the things that were keeping us away from God, including our sin and our fallenness. Yeah, exactly. You see, I think it's fair to say, and I'd ask you to say it with me, Jesus is the Jubilee. Jesus is the Jubilee. And so that we wouldn't miss that, the Apostle Paul points out that those Old Testament religious festivals were actually just a symbol. They were a prophetic preview of what was ahead. But Paul says in Colossians, 2:16 and 17, he said, but the real deal is in Christ. That's one modern translation, but it's right on. But the real deal is in Christ. In fact, please declare that with me. The real deal is in Christ. And again, over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, it says, the law and all those old festivals and covenants, they're just a shadow of the awesome things that are on the way, but they're not the actual things themselves. So based on that, I'm announcing this morning that Jubilee really comes alive for us through Jesus. What the deepest intent and meaning of Jubilee was, it comes alive in Jesus. And so then, River Family, what does that mean for you and me right now? Well, I want to propose to you that it means that the Lord wants to do something special for us in this regard. And I propose from Scripture that it certainly, for starters, must mean this. God wants us to step into a wonderful new time of freedom and recovery and restoration. What do you think about that? If times and seasons really do matter to the Lord, and we seek the Lord and say, Lord, what would you like to do special for us this year, and how can we respond to you? And the Lord says, I want you to think about that I would like to visit you with some Jubilee, heightened Jubilee, some new times of freedom, recovery, and restoration. And I say that we can describe Jubilee that way for us, loved ones, because right after he was baptized, Jesus kicked off his ministry in the Nazareth synagogue by reading from Isaiah. There's a picture of him doing it. That was his hometown, by the way. And here's what he read. Luke chapter 4. He's reading from the book of Isaiah, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me. He has chosen me to tell good news to poor people. He has sent me to tell people who are in prison, you can go free. I must say to people that cannot see, see again. I must cause people that are like slaves to become free. I must tell everyone, and let's read this together, this is the year when God will show his favor to his people. Yeah. Now, it goes on to say, when Jesus had read this to the people, he closed the scroll, and he gave it back to an officer of the meeting place, and then he sat down to teach the people. Everyone in the meeting place was looking carefully at him, and Jesus said to them, today this message has become true. It has happened while you were listening. Now, friends, when our Lord Jesus said that this was the year of the Lord's favor, when he quoted that, he was specifically pointing back to the Old Testament's year of Jubilee celebration. That's what he was saying. He's saying, hey, the greater meaning of the Jubilee that our people have celebrated over all these centuries after centuries after centuries, this every 50 years, this recovery and restoration, all of that interpretation is what Isaiah said, and I just read to you what it really looks like now in me as the Messiah. And while I read that to you, he said, it's actually happening right now. Right now, because Jesus was getting ready to start his ministry. And he said, you're going to see what the Jubilee looks like, folks. Because when I walk out this door, when this service is over, he said, and I start my ministry, you are going to understand what the year of the Lord's favor is when it's fulfilled in God's Son, his Messiah. Wow, that was a pretty amazing moment. And you know, the Lord can speak those same things to us today too. Now listen, there was no question. The Jewish crowd tuning into Jesus that day totally got what he was saying. There they are going, I think, do you see this guy? I think what he's saying is he's the interpretation of the Jubilee. This is the time of God's favor. Yeah, he was declaring, I'm the Messiah you've all been waiting for, the anointed one, the chosen one. And I mean, I love this picture. You can practically feel the Jubilee trumpet blasting. And there's Jesus playing a trumpet. as Jesus kicks off his ministry after that big reveal. I mean, because remember, they started that jubilee, the blowing of the shofar, that trumpet sound. But Jesus made it clear, the Jesus Jubilee is all about salvation. People getting saved, beginning right with God, being restored to God, repenting, turning away from a life that's walking away from God, turning back to a life serving God, being sorry for how we have sinned against God, and coming back to a place of service to God, spiritual regeneration and rebirth. It was going to be all about that, people being transformed from the inside out in thinking and behavior, restoration of people's relationships, miracles of all kinds, including healing and deliverance from evil powers. Everywhere you look, it was going to be happening all around. That's what the Jesus Jubilee looks like. Now, listen, here's some awesome news from the Holy Spirit for us right now then, church. Jesus' work of bringing people back to wholeness wasn't just important during the 3 years of his ministry on earth. No. Jubilee is something you and I can experience today. I hear a trumpet blowing, at least over this church that I'm responsible for. As pastor, I seek the Lord for. I ask the Lord, what is your message for us as we enter a new year? I hear it, a trumpet blowing. Jubilee is something you and I can experience today. Now, the Apostle Paul echoes what Jesus said in the synagogue over in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Paul says, I want you to know this is the special time when God is smiling on us. And today is the day we can be saved. Listen, the best day to be saved is when God is smiling on you. And you'd just like to say, wow, there are times the Lord really does look our way and he smiles on us with his favor. You say, well, doesn't he do that all the time? Well, he of course he loves us all the time. But we have to give the Lord the freedom in our relational transactions with him that there are times that he's going to just maybe look our way in a special way. I mean, look how Jesus, when he would work his way through the crowds, and I'm going to go there in a moment, you know, there's a lot of people there, but sometimes someone caught Jesus' eye at a certain moment in time. He loved them all. He blessed them all, but someone caught his eye at a given season, and he ministered to that person. They had their own special moment of the year of the Lord's favor. They had their own special jubilee with Jesus. We have to know there are times, Paul says, like now's the special time. God's smiling on us in a unique way. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is still doing those things. Listen, the point is Jesus didn't just bring us the good news. He is the good news. And when Jesus said, I've come to share the wonderful year of the Lord's favor. He wasn't, again, talking about a specific year per se. Rather, at that time, he was talking about kicking off a whole new era, the new covenant. The whole new covenant between God and people, the era of the Spirit, when God would write his laws on the minds and hearts of people, put a new spirit within them. That was what Israel had been waiting for. That's what the prophets all were prophesying for, the day when that would happen. And you see, that's what Jesus came to do. And that's what's offered to us, of course, in the New Testament. And that is why we can happily declare the year of Jubilee is exciting news for this very moment. For this very moment. But, you know, to truly appreciate this, I would just say, please consider with me, for the Israelites, the year of Jubilee, remember, rolled around every 50 years. So in the lead up to the Jubilee, maybe they could have lost their land or been in bondage for just a year. I mean, think about it. So it's year 49, and the 50th year is the Jubilee, and you lost everything just 1 year before. Oh, wow. How fortunate were you? You only had to have a year of maybe whatever it was, losing your land. Maybe somebody had to sell themselves into slavery to pay their debts. Whatever it was. Oh, but think about the person who had been stuck in slavery for nearly 49 years. Can you imagine that? 49 years you had to wait. where somebody else might have, the way they were born and the way life's events happened to them, they've only had to wait 1 year. Either way, I mean, that would be a tough break if you were the one waiting 49 years, right? That'd be a long haul. Well, listen, either way, the reality is that special year might only happen once in an Israelite's lifetime. So, yeah, imagine with me a Hebrew who's stuck under a cruel master with nothing to his name. Someone tells him, hey, next year is the year of Jubilee. Hey, you'd think that's fantastic news. And suddenly, he feels a spark of hope and sees a glimpse of a brighter future. True, but here's the catch. His current situation hasn't changed at all. Right? He's still trapped in slavery, still dealing with the daily grind of misery. He doesn't own anything and has to work for someone else. And when tomorrow comes, even after that announcement, he'll wake up still a slave. Well, dear friends, that delayed or even deferred salvation, that's not the gospel of Christ. No, the good news of salvation in Jesus would look more like this. Imagine a Hebrew slave who wakes up one sunny morning to the sound of a trumpet playing far away. And suddenly somebody rushes in and says, guess what? Today, starting right now, you're free. You can go back home. All your debts are gone and everything you own is yours again. Yeah, that is the amazing power of the good news. That is a Jesus Jubilee. That is a Jesus Jubilee. But you know, friends, for us to enter into some fresh new jubilees in Jesus, and this really hit me this week, and I know that the Lord really impressed this on me because of my own life. And maybe there's others in this room that would say, oh, that's me too, Pastor Rod, that's me. Friends, we must be willing to experience a new jubilee from Jesus. We must be willing to let go of our past or even present disappointments with God, especially when we may not be receiving as much of the Jesus jubilee that we might have expected or hoped for in our own personal lives. And I want to offer you, as an example of this, the case of John the Baptist. John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the nation of Israel. You remember. John was persecuted for his faith, and he was thrown into prison during the ministry of Jesus. I want you to think about this with me. Now, we're not totally sure how long John was stuck in prison before he was executed, but experts guess it could have been anywhere from a few weeks to a whole year. Just sitting there in a Middle Eastern jail 2,000 years ago must have been incredibly tough for John. There's a depiction. And church, John's plight begs the question. If Jesus is really who he claims to be, and God's jubilee is truly here, then why isn't he helping his cousin John, who's locked up? If the prisoners get set free, why is John still sitting in prison? Exactly. Wow. Here are some deep questions that I bet we've all thrown at God at some point. God, why don't we see more of your presence or feel it? Why doesn't Jesus heal every illness? Why doesn't he step in when we're hurting or suffering? Are you with me on this? Yes? You know, saints, it's likely that John spent a lot of time thinking while he was in prison. There's probably not a whole lot to do there but think. And he was probably thinking, if I'm the one paving the way for the Messiah, and Jesus is that Messiah, why am I stuck here? Shouldn't the kingdom jubilee of God be kicking off now that the Messiah has finally arrived? You see, back in Jesus' time, a lot of Jews thought that when the Messiah showed up, he'd kick the Romans out, bring Israel back as a nation, and take the throne as the new king. And you know, maybe John was expecting something like that from Jesus. And he felt let down when he was still in prison. And Jesus hadn't done anything to change the situation. Anybody ever felt like that? You're in some kind of a prison? And it seems like Jesus hadn't done anything to change your situation. Wow. Yeah, and so it's possible that John started to question his role as the Messiah's forerunner. And he wondered if Jesus really was the one. I mean, if Jesus wasn't the Messiah, gosh, then what did that make John? Yeah, you might have felt pretty low hearing about all the amazing Jubilee things Jesus was reported to be doing out there while he was still stuck suffering in prison. You know, I think a lot of Christians today can relate to that feeling. You know, you hear about all the incredible stuff God is doing in other parts of the world. You hear about the amazing healings, the miracles, massive revivals. But back home, it feels like nothing's happening or not much. Sometimes it's someone else's life. You hear someone else's story and testimony and you go, wow, look what God did in their life for them. Still feels like I'm kind of feel like John, kind of sitting there in my situation, stuck. Sometimes it's another church in town. You hear something going amazing over there. Doesn't seem like maybe much going here. Interesting, isn't it? Which is why when Jesus finally responds to John, it's like he's reassuring him, hey, John, God is indeed active. The Jubilee is really underway. Yeah, even if it doesn't match up with what John was personally hoping for in his situation. Luke chapter 7, we're told that what happened. The disciples of John the Baptist soon heard of all that Jesus was doing. Jubilee Jesus. And when they told John about it, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you really the Messiah, or shall we keep looking for him? The two disciples found Jesus while he was curing many sick people of their various diseases. Let me get there. Oh, there it is. The two disciples found Jesus while he was curing many sick people of their various diseases, healing the lame and the blind and casting out evil spirits. Isn't this interesting? It sounds just like what Jesus had read he was going to do when he was in the synagogue, right? Isn't that what we heard he read? And when they asked Jesus John's question, here was his reply. He said, go back to John and tell him all you have seen here today. How those who were blind can see. The lame are walking without a limp. The lepers are completely healed. The deaf can hear again. The dead come back to life. And the poor are hearing the good news. And tell him, ah, blessed is the one who does not lose his faith in me. Are you seeing this with me, everyone? You see, the issue wasn't with Jesus. It was John's expectations that were off. You see, instead of leading a political revolution, Jesus' Jubilee focused on helping everyday people. Yeah, people just like you and me. His miracles were incredible. But they mostly happened among those who were poor, sick, and marginalized. Have you ever considered this, please? You see, the big social change that many people hoped for didn't take place. Now, friends, of course, Jesus could have chosen to perform miracles in the wealthy areas of Jerusalem, right? He could have impressed the religious and political leaders. And you know what? If he had done that, he would have been recognized as their Messiah, and he could have restored Israel as a political power. But instead, Jesus chose to spread God's kingdom by visiting villages. He was healing the sick and challenging the religious and political authorities. So, look, we see that Jesus' reply to John shows that his jubilee and kingdom is meant for these very individuals. It's meant for the little ones. It's meant for the sick, the poor, the marginalized, those bound up in our society. You know, helping someone who feels lonely and insignificant is not a small act. It's actually the true spirit of the Jubilee of God. And sure, at first, a Jesus Jubilee might seem small and unimportant, but as it spreads, it grows larger and eventually reaches our entire community and even the world. So, again, dear ones, you and I must let go of our past or even present disappointments with God, especially when we may not be receiving as much of the Jesus Jubilee that we might have expected or hoped for in our own personal lives. And we need to choose. And this is where it becoming a mature Christian, what it's all about. We need to choose to believe that God is still active, that Jesus' Jubilee is underway, even if it doesn't match up with what we are personally hoping for in our situation at the time. What we must always remember is no matter what, when God wants to move, God's sovereignty is still in charge. And we need to remain excited in the spirit of faith that the Jesus Jubilee is something you and I can and will experience in a greater way in the days to come. But, you know, we have to let go of our disappointments with what we have experienced, maybe that has brought us to this day. I can only imagine someone in ancient Israel who was slogging along, who was in some kind of, you know, debtor servitude, someone who had lost their family inheritance. Their family had been broken up. Somebody who was slogging along for 10, 20, 30 years before that 50-day release, my goodness, you can become so accustomed to your captivity that you have a hard time even believing in a jubilee. And one of the things that we have to do is say, oh Lord, we learned this from John, that no matter what our situation is or how long we have struggled, what we have longed to see in the Lord in our personal lives or the lives of those we love, the recovery of our lives, the restoration of our lives, all of those things. Jesus said, go back and tell John, you may not be experiencing that right now. God is still sovereign. He's got a purpose. But lives are being redeemed. The Jubilee is happening. Rejoice in it. You've lived to believe for it, to see it. You know, the Apostle Paul one time said, writing to a church, talking about the fact that they were experiencing so much of the life of Jesus. They were having a Jubilee at this one church. You'd really say that, a move of God. But Paul would write to them later and say, you know, but to get that move of God happening, someone had to bear the cross. Someone had to pay the price. Someone had to wander in a place of a prison, it would seem, for many years. Paul said, I was that person. So death has worked in us, but now life works in you. And that's what Jesus wanted John to know. John, you paved the way for me. All those years of preaching, all those years of living ascetically and sacrificially out in the wilderness, and now to be imprisoned. John, you paid the price. Death has worked in you, but now life has been released in others. I think in all honesty and fairness, if we ask the Lord Jesus for a jubilee, we have to surrender to his sovereignty as to say, Lord, I'm going to let you determine what I experience or don't experience, what it looks like or what it feels like. But one thing I will do, Lord, I will deal with my disappointment with you. If I'm going to participate in any level, and even if it's rejoicing, looking out the cell of a prison window and watching the fulfillment of the dream that I had to see a jubilee and I have to watch it in the lives of others, I will still rejoice in my God. And I will be thankful, even though I hold out hope, that I will taste of those Jubilee waters. Are you with me? This is what we want. And so we say, Lord Jesus, we give you our disappointments. We bring them all to you. Our long sentences of waiting. The things that we don't think have worked out. And we believe, Lord Jesus, there is a Jubilee that is coming. And maybe it starts with others, and then we catch it later. Or maybe it starts with us and it flows out from us to others. Either way, we believe that you are still working and that you have ordained Jubilee for us in Jesus. And in the Spirit now, you're prophesying to us that we will experience it in the days ahead in a greater way. Well, then, loved one, let me summarize it all by saying that your personal Jubilee in Christ is then both for right now, but it's also for later too. And wow, when we talk about Jubilee in Jesus, wow, we got to talk about the long-term Jubilee, because what I mean by that is that the true completion of your salvation and the greatest year of Jubilee will happen when you step into eternity, leaving behind death and sorrow for good. Revelation 21, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had gone away. The sea also was not there anymore. I saw God's own holy city called the New Jerusalem. It was coming down out of heaven from God. It was very beautiful, like a bride who is wearing beautiful clothes, ready to meet her husband. And I heard a voice that spoke loudly from the throne, and it said, look, God's home is now among people. God will live together with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And God will take away all the tears from their eyes. Nobody will ever die again. Nobody will be sad again. Nobody will ever cry. Nobody will have pain again. Everything that made people sad has now gone. That old world has completely gone away. And God, who was sitting on the throne, said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, because these words are true, and everyone should believe them. Wow, dear one, I'm asking, are you looking forward to that Jubilee celebration? Because I certainly am. But, you know, friend, I must remind you that the Jubilee message that Jesus shared shows us that the gospel isn't only about looking forward to a better tomorrow. Now, once again, look, sharing the gospel also means proclaiming that today is the moment for salvation. Believe right now. Get saved right now. Break free from the chains of sin right now. Experience healing and fullness right now. That's the mindset we have, because that's the reality of it. And loved one, I pray that the year of Jubilee will serve as a biblical reminder that through faith in Jesus, you can access restoration every single day in accordance with God's will and timing. And that's some truly great news. And so I'm asking you to join me as in a unique called by the Spirit way, that's the way I want to say it, we seek the Lord for his restoration and salvation every day of this coming year, and we experience an astonishing Jesus Jubilee in our lives together. Are you with me? Yeah. Now look, we'll let him determine what it looks and feels like. That's what we need to do. Just say, Lord, we're just going to let you determine what it looks and feels like. We just want to make sure that we're entering into it. Amen? Yeah. And so we say, Lord, we're just going to bring you all of those disappointments, and we're going to just, with a new spirit, we're going to saddle up in faith. Someone say, saddle up in faith. Yeah, we're going to saddle up in faith. And listen, I want to invite you now, with the help of Christ's Spirit, to make your commitment to enter into Jubilee, doing whatever our Lord Jesus may ask of you. And I'm going to ask you to do that now personally as we meditate on this prayer hymn, and then I'm going to come back with a moment of prayer.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm anointed to bring hope. This promise fulfilled in a moment. I'm still watching it unfold. There's good news for the captives. Proclamation for every soul.
This is for the free man singing, he delivered me.
This is for the woman shouting, his garment made me clean.
Listen up, for the seasons changing, he's rebuilding everything.
Listen for the people shouting,
this is true.
Listen for the seasons changing. He's rebuilding everything. Listen for the people shouting. This is Jubilee. I offer now to pray with anyone who is ready to enter into Jesus' freedom. And I'm talking about salvation, coming home to God through faith in Christ, or a recommittal of your life. I want to invite you to follow me in this prayer. Just whisper, pray it along with me from the depths of your heart. Pray with me, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are God's Son. I believe you died on the cross for me to take away my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins and living life my own way. I ask you to forgive me and take away all my sins. Wash me and make me clean. Save me, Lord Jesus, and give me your new life. Deliver me from Satan and his lies. Come into my heart and make me yours. I give you my life, and I now enter your life. Thank you for saving me. I choose you to be my Lord, to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for filling me now with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live every day for you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed with me, someone here, someone watching online, we want to offer you a resource that can help you start your walk with Jesus. And if you're coming back to the Lord, it helps you too. And it's a booklet like this. We give it every week. Why Jesus? What's it all about? Please take one. There'll be a stack of them there in the lobby. Take one, read it. There's additional prayers to pray. It can be the first step, the starting point of your new walk with Jesus. Jesus, the Jubilee. I cannot think of a better moment to give my life to Christ than this very day and say on the beginning of a new year, I made Jesus. Jesus, the Jubilee, the Lord of my life. And I begin the walk with him. And an exciting year ahead, because I'm believing that for myself, and I'm believing that for you. There's also another book out there, the Gospel of John. Grab one of those and start reading the Gospel of John if you haven't before. We'll have baptism coming up to publicly share your commitment to faith in Christ in the coming months. But I encourage you to make church attendance your priority, especially in this new year, because the Lord's going to be doing some really good things. And what's going on in here, it's going to be special. I believe today was a special day as well. I'm going to invite you to stand right now as we conclude our time together. I'd like to leave you with a blessing. Of course, I would also like to mention to you that we're going to have prayer available right at the front here after the service today for any need whatsoever. Immediately following the service, the men's huddle will be meeting in the kitchen. So all guys are welcome and encouraged to join us. There's also a sign-up out there for a couple of things, I think, so take a look at that. In the back, is there a little bit of coffee back there today? If you'd like to have a cup and just say hi to a few folks, a little fellowship time, you can check that out too. All right, but that being said, I want to leave you now with this blessing. And now may God help you at the beginning of this year to turn to him. May he help you to change your world, beginning with you. May he help you know that it's only in obedience to his will that you'll find happiness this year. And yes, may he grant you a fresh start, a new beginning, a jubilee in Jesus, that in the new life which he offers you, you may prove him to be true. May you set out into this new year with your trust in him, and may the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with all God's children, now and always, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Please bless one another as we enter into this new year and wish someone a new year in Jesus that's blessed. Come up for prayer. Otherwise, online family, God bless you. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time we're together.